Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. My name is Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. And today we've got well over 1,000 participants across the world. If this, though, is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. In this episode, I'll be speaking to Faye Thomason, the head of marketing at MediaHawk, plus head of brand and PR and content marketing at LexisNexis UK, Matthew Leopold on Vanity Metrics, and managing director of Wolf Hodson, Caroline Hodson, on Change. Lots to cover then, so let's get started. Even the best campaigns and landing pages won't yield the results you're after if you're not targeting the right audiences. So argues Faye Thomason, who is head of marketing at MediaHawk and who joins me now. Faye, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here.
And so first of all, before we dive into targeting, tell us a bit about MediaHawk, who they are and what they do.
Absolutely. So at MediaHawk are a marketing analytics and attribution solution. So we can tell you where your leads have come from when they're visiting a website or calling your company. So our software is expert in attributing all leads and sale conversions, especially calls. So, for example, if someone has landed on your website and then picks up the phone to call you, we can attribute the source of the call from first click to last click attribution and provide you with a ton of other marketing analytic and caller data as well, including recording the call. So ultimately, it's about helping marketers increase the number and quality of phone and website leads and sales by avoiding kind of wasting spend. You're improving your return on investment, focus efforts on the marketing mix that works, and create successful campaigns as well. So it's pretty clever stuff.
Cool. So targeting then, I don't think that there are many marketers who disagree with your point about the importance of targeting. So I'm going to ask a completely different question. Why do so many marketers fail to do targeting?
I think there are a number of reasons and a combination of reasons. You know, there's time and resource, people are busy, you've got conflicting priorities, you know, you have a small team. There's also that scattergun approach as well. You worry about missing the opportunity, missing the potential of a lead or a sale on there. You know, it's pressure on numbers. It might be pressure from your boss or the board that are saying that you need to go out. And particularly during these challenging times, like now with COVID, I think businesses are really trying to survive. So they're just like, let's just get out there to everybody. There's also different views within the business as well. I think marketers may know who and how to target, but not able to. You know, maybe the sales team aren't aligned with it. Maybe the CEO has got a bright idea as well on there. I think there's also bad data and bad data management too. So, you know, rubbish goes in, rubbish is gonna come out, and out of date data. And I think particularly with B2B marketing, you know, people might change a role within the business, but their email stays the same. So they might have completely changed career within the business, but it stays the same as well. And also, it's not easy, really. Research is involved, which can be difficult. A true understanding of the audience, demographics, behavior, attitude. You know, you need to make sure you're asking the right questions, you're interpreting the data in the right way, even asking the right people. But lastly, I think that there's some marketers that believe they're targeting as well. They may have ads to targeted groups, but if you look at the messages, that can be for the masses. And I don't think we should shy away from mass marketing. I know we're talking about targeting, but let's not shy away from it. You know, there could be virtually no differences in the needs of customers in one market and another. But, and it can be low cost, obviously, because of the economies of scale. But the risk is your competitors really could carve out a niche for themselves.
Okay, so you're kind of missing a trick by not targeting. So Come on then, how, spill the beans, how should we target properly?
Okay, so it's all about the STP, really. So segmentation, targeting and positioning, and then move on to the four P's. So to target properly, we really need to, first of all, go through the process of segmentation. So as we know, that's going through the process of dividing up your total market. And then the targeting is about organising them. Segmentation is a really important part of the work to target, because not all customers are created equal. So for example, 1% of your customers could be accounting for 50% of your sales. So it's really crucial to get right. You also need to understand, my view is you need to understand the business objectives as well. What's your aim? Is it about growth? Is it competitive differentiation? Is it product diversification? Is it an international expansion? And that helps you choose those segments to target. That improves your chances to meet the aims of the business and maximize long-term profitability as well. And then you can use that information to decide what segments to target, and indeed also what not to target as well. I think that can be just as crucial. So you can base them on size, potential value, so the profitability, the growth rate, the product fit, and can segment what segments will also influence other segments too. And consider that kind of current market share, is it already high? Then target another segment that has growth potential, or are your competitors strong in that segment too? So from that, you can come up with your personas, your segment portraits as well to help you and your team understand those targets. And then from that positioning really comes into play. So what do you want your segment to think of your product or service when they think of your brand? And that can then really help you inform the various strategies across the four P's, product, price, place, and promotion. So on the communication side, it's about designing your ads and your media for specific segments. So you're using your customer past behavior or recency, frequency, and value metrics to really target at the appropriate time, understand how to speak to them. On the product strategy side, ensure your products are designed for those specific targeted segments. I think LinkedIn is a really good example of that. They target it based on HR, sales teams, training, for example. And then obviously you've got your pricing strategy. You could design around price sensitivities if there's any within your certain segments. And then on the channel strategy side, is there a sales team that's needed for demos? Or does your segment actually want to self-serve? So it's about buying now rather than going through a demo process. So yeah.
So a lot to do, but there's a kind of clear approach there. So how can marketers quantify the benefits of taking that approach?
Yeah, so I think kind of monitoring your market share is a really good way of doing this. I mean, at MediaHawk, we monitor the number of leads and revenue gained per targeted segment to help us understand how we're performing. And I do feel targeting is one of the most important strategic tasks that you can do. So by taking this approach, you'll attract and convert higher quality leads. So everything should be easy. So you should naturally see that progression. But probably the easiest way is through your performance of your channels. So I saw a study from MailChimp, actually, that kind of email campaigns using targeting saw a 75% higher click rate compared to non-segmented campaigns.
Wow. So that's quite compelling. Which businesses do targeting well right now?
It's a really good question, because I think if a business does it well, we don't notice it. It's normally the ones that do it badly that we pick up on. I mean, I mentioned LinkedIn earlier, and I do think kind of they're really clear on their purpose. They understand the different audiences and they really target those audiences. So as I said, kind of member side, the recruitment side, the sales side, and their pricing, their product and their messaging is really on point in each of those areas. I think also kind of Vimeo, they really target on business sizes. So it's interesting. That's kind of their targeted approach and develop their product offering around those business sizes. And then they have solution kind of pages on their website, that's around those business sizes. So if you think about small business, enterprise, but also marketing and education and creatives. So they've developed some really neat messaging that helps them with their targeting.
So when you were telling me about what targeting entailed, you gave a lot of detail, quite a long process. So how do you get started? Where within all of that should you begin?
It's that your market research, for me, is all about your market research. So gather together what data and research you already have. So it's not about necessarily going out there and getting new research. What do you already have? Use your marketing analytics tools like Google Analytics and even like MediaHawk. for example, you know, it's, we've got information on channel preferences, we've got speech analytics, because obviously it's call tracking on there, demographic data that gives you a really great understanding of the segments. You know, we had one customer in the care home sector that was able to better understand what location to target. They really saw some favorable results out of that. But yeah, you can speak to your target audience, surveys, focus groups, those things like that. But I think the first point is that research and then start on that segmentation process. I mean, it shouldn't take too long. I think if you've been in the business for a while, you probably know a lot of these things already. It's having that data just to back up what you already know and then divide it out. And, you know, I find a grid so really quite useful, and you can start seeing kind of playing around with some grids on there. And I think kind of as soon as you understand, you're really set on the right path to target optimally.
Good stuff. Good advice. Faye Thomason, Head of Marketing at MediaHawk. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you today.
Business marketers are finally jumping on the marketing measurement bandwagon, but are we measuring our marketing for the right reasons? I'm joined by Matthew Leopold, who is the head of brand, PR and content marketing at LexisNexis UK. Matthew, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, likewise, thank you.
Very good. So tell us a bit about LexisNexis.
So LexisNexis is one of those secret tools that if you don't need to know, you don't need to know, but it is vital and critical to lawyers and tax professionals. When you have a question, when you go to a lawyer as a business or as an individual, lawyers don't know the answer to everything. And the place they have to go to find the legal intelligence is LexisNexis. So it's a huge, vast library, database of law with practical guidance, actions, and information for lawyers so that they can better serve you, their clients, and do so quicker and hopefully with less risk.
That's very clear. It sounds like one of those best kept secrets outside of that particular sphere of work.
Well, as head of brand, hopefully not too big a secret.
Noted. So let me very quickly then change the subject and extricate myself from the hole I've gotten into, and let's talk about measurement. So there's a standard complaint in business that marketing isn't measured. So surely if that's the case, measuring for any reason at all has to be a good thing.
Absolutely. Measurement is fundamental and it is core. Yeah. Ultimately, my director at work says if it doesn't get measured, it doesn't count. And that's absolutely true. If we can't work out if something's working, then how can we decide it's worth putting money into? How can we decide we're going in the right direction? But the challenge comes with things that are difficult to measure and what we do with the answers from the measurements that we record. And I think quite often in the world of marketing, we sometimes trick ourselves that we're asking the right question when we're really not.
So then what are the right questions that we should bear in mind when we're measuring business marketing?
So particularly in my area, in the world of brand and PR, it's often easy to measure something in order to justify that you made the right decision, rather than measuring something in order to identify were you correct, was the work efficient, is there more you could do to improve the performance of it. And that's a really difficult mindset to get around. And particularly in the world of brand, we quite often have to make judgment calls. We're spending a lot of money and you're doing something based on how you think the market is perceiving and reacting to the work that you're doing. And it's very easy in those circumstances to focus on justifying that you were correct. And we're all guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. And I think that's fundamentally the first thing that needs to happen is the recognition that we need to measure to improve rather than cover our own backs.
Okay. So what then are the right things for us to measure?
Well, there is the critical question. And certainly in the world of brand, it's about identifying what the brand outcomes you want to achieve are. Now, it's very simple when you're in a B2B world or even a B2C world, then ultimately you're measuring revenue, you're measuring sales, you're measuring opportunities generated, and you can fundamentally put a number against the work you're doing. The challenge in my world is that actually I can't necessarily show that there is a direct causation between a piece of work I do and a sale being received. So really clearly defining what my measurement of success is. What is the brand outcome I want to achieve is the thing that's really important to be able to identify, have I made an impact on this? And the more that I can narrow down, the more you can focus on those key metrics is what will then make the difference.
Okay, so that sounds quite clear to me. So why is it that so many organizations fail to measure the right things about marketing?
So it's because it is really difficult. How do I measure, if we'll take a TV advert, for example, how do I measure the success of a TV advert? And I appreciate for many B2B customers, this is not something that is relevant to them, but I think actually the context of the conversation, it helps. Everyone knows when you watch TV, does it work? Does it not work? Is this going to change my opinion? And so much of what we do is about trying to make sure that my brand is front of mind, or at least it's a high consideration when I go to the marketplace and I'm going, I need to buy a new CRM system. Then actually there are three or four brands that just jump out in my mind as the companies that provide a CRM system, and therefore they are automatically part of my consideration funnel. So how do we then start to narrow down and identify that part of the funnel? Is there a way that I can do econometrics? Can I look at survey data? Can I research what are the things that are going to make a difference? What are the things that are going to be buying decisions for my customers? And I think that's an easy trap to fall into, is to make a decision internally about the things that are important to a customer without validating or understanding it. And then, of course, reverse engineering it so that we are looking at, does this piece of marketing, does this piece of advertising correlate and change people's opinions on the things that they've told me are important buying decisions? It's not a simple act. It is an art form and it requires a bit of faith. But then when you start to build up that database, you can get a really clear idea of what is working for your customer. And in a B2B world, it's very easy to only focus on what drives sales. And ultimately, the thing that will drive a sale will be discount, big sale. And that is not necessarily the long-term solution to a lot of B2B marketing.
Okay. So maybe we should then look to case studies. Who does this well?
So I just, Mark Ritson was talking earlier this week, I think it was, about some fabulous advertising Salesforce have just put out, where they have done a really smart brand advert showing them in comparison to their competition. And the ads, it is a brand ad. It's not going to necessarily, they won't probably get sales leads from people clicking on it, but wow, it shows, I forget the exact metrics it shows, but it basically it shows Salesforce on an upward trajectory in comparison to all the other CRM tools. And it is very, very clear that if you haven't got Salesforce in your mind's eye as the solution, then you absolutely should. And a really, really powerful advert. And I'm sure that they will have got a lot of data behind what are the key buying reasons for Salesforce over the competition. And that advert has come out as a result of that.
Okay. So if people have bought into your argument, I don't see why not. It's a very clear argument, it seems to me. How should they get started in this space?
I think it's about recognizing that it's very easy to take an assumption and run with an assumption. So I think step one is work out what assumptions you've made in your marketing so far. And these are really easy things like, my customer thinks this, or these are the people who actually buy. And if you haven't done the research and you haven't gone out and started to look at what your customers really think or what your prospects really think, that is really the first place to go and have a look. And then secondly, start challenging yourself. And it's really helpful to have an outside voice, yeah, who can say to you, actually, no, you are currently just covering your behind. You're not being objective in what you're tracking here. You're tracking how good am I rather than can I do this better. And sometimes just having that external voice, someone who is not going to be incentivized for hitting your targets, to say that to you. And I definitely have it. One of my mentors does this with me and helps me ask the right questions. Am I really making sure I'm doing the very best and getting the very best results? And I think that sort of open mindset really helps. And then finally, define what success looks like. Is success sales? Ultimately, if you're not achieving sales, then what you're doing probably isn't working, and it won't necessarily deliver it in a short time scale. But defining what that real clear outcome of success is and having that in your mind's eye as you go through it makes a real difference.
Matthew Leopold, Head of Brand, PR and Content Marketing at LexisNexis UK. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Dave.
We're living in a world of uncertainty with COVID-19, recession, and political and social conflict dominating our lives. And that calls for us to do business marketing differently, both now and in the future. In our show and tell series, we're hearing from client side and agency side marketers in businesses from startup all the way to mature corporates about topics that range from changes in working practices to changes in purpose and culture, changes in brand, marketing strategy, messages, channels, and so on. They'll be sharing experiences and offering advice. Today, it's the turn of Managing Director of Wolf Hodgson, Caroline Hodgson. Caroline, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dave.
Good to see you here. Over to you.
Thank you. It's a strange time we've been living in during the last sort of 12 months. It's terrifying to think that it is 12 months now. But when I was thinking about how things have changed and how not just we've all had to change as people, but how clients and the actual marketing and how you reach people has had to change and we've had to adapt. There's one thing that kept coming up to me where I hear from clients again and again and again, which is, how do we maintain our levels of revenue during this period? And particularly looking at it from a sales challenge. So you've got sales individuals and they've got this challenge of reaching new people, keeping that pipeline going, keeping those new people coming through. And it's sort of, as always, this, I've always created a bit of a wry smile in the fact, I think, how salespeople used to bemoan the gatekeepers and bemoan the sort of having to get through receptionists and PAs. And the reality is, I think they take that back any day these days, because now you've got the challenge of actually using somebody's mobile and somebody's personal mobile. And that's a whole different challenge. Have we ever collected mobiles? Do people ever give mobiles? So it's this challenge that is the one that we've been faced with this again and again and again. And where I think a lot of clients and where we've been working an awful lot is, how do we get a way more analytical approach to lead management and the need to take this sort of whole funnel approach? We can't be just marketers anymore that say our job is to generate leads and to pass them over to sales, because we have to understand this huge challenge that the sales teams are facing at the other end of, well, this is great, but how do I reach people? So there are sort of three things I think that are really key in this. One is about quality of insight. And these are all things that marketers, this is things that we can do and that we should be looking at. So the quality of insight, actually, what are we passing over with these things called leads? So, you know, we've always looked at capturing source, and that's key. But the other thing is really defining what are they interested in? How are we identifying interest, and what is the level of that interest? So is it interest that is stated? You know, I've actually said that I'm interested in something. Is it interest that's been demonstrated? I've done something that shows I'm interested, or actually is it inferred? We think because you have done this and this, then you will be interested in that. And as a salesperson, it's important to not only know that they're interested, but what kind of interest is this? How have we captured this piece of information? And also, you know, is it that we're identifying a hand raising? So actually, if somebody is coming on to our environment somewhere, our digital environment, and saying, I want to talk to somebody, that is even more important in this world than it was before, because actually there is a moment, there is a time, and the timeliness of this, getting it to the right salesperson to follow this up. So, you know, it's having a look and being really analytical in the approach of this whole funnel and saying, what are these behaviors or these things? You know, yes, it's a contact me form. Yes, it's a, I want a trial. Yes, it's a, but there's other things and other indicators all the way down through the marketing activity that we might call lead nurture or whatever we want to call that activity. You can actually go, actually, that's a hand raise, and ask people more often, because this is so important for the sales guys at the other end who are trying to reach out. So the other part is recognizing that not all leads are equal. You know, it's about really understanding the sales strategy and understanding where are their priorities. Are there certain individuals that they're really struggling in certain sort of segments or cohorts of their target they're struggling? And then looking at it and saying, can we move them through with different cadence? You know, are there certain key accounts, for example, where it's a contact that we don't already know? Well, because it's attached to a global key account, you know, is that a quick cadence? Is that something we can say, this is, it might not be the decision maker, but it's an influencer. And previously we would have wanted them to go through a much more nurturing, but again, it's just questioning some of that cadence that moves through. So the first point on this is the quality of the insight. That's the point I'm making here. And I think it's beholden on marketers to really look at their current processes and look at what data they're capturing and saying, what am I capturing it? Why am I capturing it? And what's its relevance to that sales audience? And how is it going to help them reach out and make that contact? The second point of that is the importance of analytics. So insight is one thing, but analytics is another thing. And again, this is all things that are in the control of the marketer and how we're having to change our own view of things. So really understanding what is working for whom and where. So what channels are delivering what, but what segments of our target audience or our prospects or existing customers are things working for? What's moving well? What's not moving well? How do we find more of them? And again, it's about being more and more aligned with that sales team that you're working with. And which leads are converting? That there is this perennial challenge between sales and marketing, where marketing feel that, you know, leads get passed over. They don't necessarily know what happens the other side. The answer is you have to know. You have to take it on yourself to go and find out about what leads are converting, because actually, if they're converting, they're the right type. What can we find out about them? You know, why are they right? How do we find more of them back up? Are we looking for the right data points? Are we capturing the right information to identify those people? So again, that's the kind of the second part is that the importance of analytics. And the third part, which I know is always on, you know, a marketer's a list of things to do, it's always there, is test and learn, test, learn, adapt, test, learn, adapt. And it's easy, I think, in this world we live in, where it's the sort of thing that when we're all in an office and we all have sort of brainstorming ideas, it's much easier to say, well, we'll test it, we'll try it, we don't know. But actually, as we're all sitting separately now, it's even more important, again, to, you know, learn from the insights, you know, track the insights, learn from the analytics, but test it, test things out, and then learn from them and adapt to moving forward. So this continuous cycle of improvement and performance improvement of our marketing, because it's only as we get better and better that those sales teams at the end, on the recipient end of these leads, they are more important to them than ever. And I think that we've noticed a real change in attitude from sales teams to be able to say, do you know what? I really will pick up all those leads. I really will be capturing them all. But we've got to help them. We've got to give them more, and we've got to test and learn and do the right analytics and make sure we've got the right information going through.
Three great points there. Managing Director of Wolf Hodgson, Caroline Hodgson, thank you very much. And that's all. That's it for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, Faye Thomason, Matthew Leopold and Caroline Hodgson. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. But that's it for now. Hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.